I'd like to give a Yashikayach to the Yashikayel and Fekayel for giving me this opportunity to be able to speak to you tonight. As Carl mentioned, this week's Parsha is Parsha Zohar. We learn the Parsha and the Haftarah is related to the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolech. So welcome to Shulchan Aruch. It says, B'Shabbos Shniyah, Mitzian Shnei Sforim, on the second Shabbos of the Dalet Parsha, you should take out two Sforim. Be'echad Kairi Parsha Shavua, one you read the regular Parsha of the week. U'Basheni, on the second one, Kairi Zohar Sh'Osach HaMolech, you read Parsha Zohar, Maftir Pekadit Sh'Osach HaMolech. And you read the Haftarah of Pekadit Sh'Osach HaMolech. Shavua points out the reason is to make a connection. Why? Because Haman, upcoming Parsha, is upcoming Purim. And Haman is a descendant of Amalek. In order also to make Zechiras Mechias Amalek connected to the actual destruction of Amalek, as the Pasuk says, Vahayom Me'elan Skarim V'Nasim. Now the Maaseh of the Pasuk that talks about Amalek, Parsha Zohar, lists three Nekudos, three mitzvahs. It starts off by saying, Zohar Sh'asa Lecha Amalek Baderech. You have to remember what Amalek did. And at the end it says, Timcha Zecher Amalek, destroy the remembrance of Amalek, and Leisishkach, do not forget. So Chazal point out there are three mitzvahs that are involved over here. One is to remember in your heart, not to forget. One is Zechir B'Peh, which we say once a year when you read parshas the story of Amalek. And one is Timcha, to destroy, obliterate the remembrance of Amalek, annihilate Amalek. Simply the three separate mitzvahs. However, according to some Shittas Rishonim, according to the Rambam, they're connected. In what way? In that the Rambam holds that a lady doesn't have a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to come here, Parsha Zohar. Why? Because he holds the Parsha Zohar is just to remind us to go and kill out Amalek. And he holds that the ladies do not go out to Mulchama. And since ladies do not go out to Mulchama, they do not have to come and hear Parsha Zohar. Menachas Chinuch argues, and Menachas Chinuch says, first of all, Mehecha Teisi, they're linked all together. Who says? Parsha is two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah to remember, is one mitzvah to kill out Amalek. Who says they only chayim in one if you chayim in the other? And second of all, the Menachas Chinuch says, not so Parsha, ladies don't go out to Mulchama's mitzvah. So the Menachas Chinuch holds the Parsha, so ladies should go ahead and hear Parsha Zohar. And I think the accepted minhag is the ladies do come, even though there are a lot of things the ladies are not mechuyevin, and they took upon themselves to come in here. But it seems that most ladies come to hear Parsha Zohar, even though, again, according to the Rambam, you wouldn't have to. What I want to discuss a little bit tonight is this mitzvah of killing out a Amalek, is it an absolute chiyev? In other words, does it apply at all times and all places? And is it applied to every single Amaleki or not? Does it always apply or not? The place I think to start with this discussion is what would happen if an Amaleki would be willing to accept in himself Zayim Mitzvah Denayach or Tim Megayer. So to start with the first case of Geirus, the famous story when after Shaul is killed, and the person who killed Shaul comes to David to tell him what happened. So he comes to David and he says, Vayomer ben ish ger Amaleki anochi, introduced to him as a son of Amaleki ger. And he tells David what happened. Shaul told him to kill him, and he killed Shaul, even though from the end of Shmuel Aleph, it seems that Shaul killed himself. Apparently, Shaul instructed him on the spear already. He hadn't died completely. He told the Ger Amaleki to finish it off. And he tells David, and the Ger Amaleki is thinking that David's going to be happy about this. David and Shaul are at battle. And David's response is that, V'yamer lo David, Damocha reishecha, your blood is on your head. Kipicha anabach, because your mouth has indicted you. Leimu anoichi masdis Mashiach Hashem, saying that I killed the anointed one of Hashem. So what does it mean when he says picha anabach? Your mouth, what you've said, has made you chayiv. And based on what his admission, what he said, David goes ahead and David kills him. So what does that mean? So the Mechilta says that picha anabach, the Mechilta understands as follows. Rabbi Lezer says that the Baruch Shalom says, Nishba HaMokah, the Baruch Shalom promises as follows, that if a ger comes from any nation of the world, we're Mekabel then. Any nation in the world we're Mekabel. L'Amalek u'l'beisar le'i kablu. T'Amalek, we're not Mekabel ger. Why not? Because when David saw the ger Amaleki, what did he tell him? He told him, Pichan, Damach v'Roshach. Picha Anabi told him back, Vayamar Dodo Nara Magale, Amy Zata, said Ger Amaleki, Niskala Dodo of Oisha Shama Shnamal Maisha, Benu Yavi Nikola Umais, that all the nations of the world come, I mean Miskayer, but not Amalek. So the reason that is given over here, according to the Mechilta, the reason why David went ahead and David killed the Ger Amaleki, is because he recognized that he's an Amaleki, and there's a mitzvah to kill an Amaleki. That is the Svara of the Mechilta. Now, Pashtas, the Mechilta doesn't fit so well with the Lashon of the Pasuk. Because simply the Pasuk says, you said, how are you not afraid to kill a Mashiach Hashem? How are you not afraid to kill somebody who went ahead and was appointed by the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Melech? Simply, David went ahead and killed him because he killed Shaul. Truth is, the Rambam in Isuri Bia, Paskins clearly, it will makabel gerim from all umays. Says anyone who comes to him is gayer, avodim, or regular people, they're gayer, they come a yid l'chol davar. Says there are four nations, Ammon, Moav, Mitzri, and Edom, who there's certain halachas that apply to them as far as being gavay b'kal, to come and get married into Klal Yisrael. But as far as accepting them as gerim, we accept them as gerim. So the Rambam seems to disagree with this mechilta, and the Rambam seems to hold that you're makabel and is gerim. So according to the Rambam, this person over here was a yid. He was a guy, he was a yid. So why was he killed? The reason he was killed simply is, as a Rasha, David didn't want somebody going around boasting that he killed the king. If you leave a person around saying that he killed the king, so it puts the whole melucha in jeopardy, especially in those days where criticism of a king was punishable by death. So when he went ahead and killed the king, would put the entire idea of the monarchy and the government at risk. And when there's a threat to society, there's a rule of where you like to go ahead and do a rasha and kill. Hamitz B is interesting in machloikis, because over here the person came out and said he admitted that he killed Shaul. Pasha is allowed to kill someone based on a dais atzmai. When someone incriminates himself, you have a protection against self-incrimination. Someone comes to bed and says, this guy of Misa, we don't accept his edus. So the question is why that is. Some rishonim understand that it's because of psul kurva. Adam karavates lots. My person's a karav to himself. So if he says they did something wrong, he's not going to be believed, as korva. Now the thing is that the psul korva is only to a yid, not to a guy. So according to the mechilta, it makes sense that he wasn't a yid, there wasn't a real geiris. You can kill him based on his haidas atzma. According to the Rambam lecher holds he was a yid. Furthermore, the pashas, the Rambam holds that haidas atzma has nothing to do with psul korva. The Rambam explains that does atzma. The Rambam says that the reason why we don't want people self-incriminating themselves is because maybe he's suicidal. Maybe a person wants to kill himself, so he comes to Bez and says, he's chayiv misa. That svara would apply even to a guy. So the Rambam, why did the Rambam kill him based on a does atzma? So simply the answer is, like we just said, it was a rasha. There were no edim here. There was no asra over here. The reason why he killed them is to protect the society, to make it that the native people wouldn't go around boasting and saying they killed kings and undermine society. There's a riot to the Rambam. The Gemara in Gittin says, so if they don't accept Gerim from Amalek, how does Amalek's children end up in Bnei Brak? So Pasha's Bnei Bonav, it's his son's children. So there's a riot to the Rambam. According to the Mechilta, you have to understand that no, Bnei Bonav doesn't necessarily mean his sons. It means descendants. We sometimes find that bun of sons doesn't mean sons. By Mamishtana, it goes through together what person has to ask. Derech, Shaila, Tshuva. So it says if he has a child, his ben asks him. And like ben, he doesn't have a ben, Ishtay Shaila. His wife asked him. He doesn't have a wife, he asks it to himself. What happened to his boss? Why jumping to his ben? So Pashtus, bun of in that case doesn't mean his son. It means his descendants, his children. So bun of Shulhama doesn't mean that his son's children. What it means is he had daughters who went ahead and married people who weren't from Amalek. And from those descendants came out, Bnei Bonav Shel Amalek. Now the shaila is, what about being Mekai? What about Amaleki, who says he's a keep Shem Mitzvah Noyach? So over here, simply according to the Mechilta, if you don't accept him as a ger, Chayi Yizichah not going to accept him for Shem Mitzvah Noyach. But Lamais, the Rambam again over here is very clear that you would accept Amaleki for Shem Mitzvah Noyach. He says, when you go to Mechama, the halacha is, you have to go ahead and call out for Shalom. You have to go ahead and make a Jewish Shalom to each to the country that you surround. So you don't do mocham, he says, b'shum adam ba'olam. You don't do mocham with any person in the world until you make a peace agreement. Offer. There has to be an offer on the table before you go to war. So in order for the war to be, so to speak, a just war, so the Rambam holds, you have to first offer a peace agreement beforehand. If the peace agreement is turned down, and the peace agreement that the Rambam is talking about is very strict terms, it's keeping Shabbat and Sinai Nayach and being servants to Klal Yisrael, then the war is just, then you can go to war. But what happens in the war itself, he's not so concerned about. Today, a lot of emphasis is placed not on the cause for the war, but the fighting in the middle of the war. Human rights abuses, whatever else might be. It seems to be for the Rambam, but the Dagdish is not so much what's going on during the war. It's the, you had a right to go to the war in the first place. Once the war is justified, the actual Muhammad during the war is not a problem. But the problem is if you don't ask the Jewish Shalom beforehand, then you don't have a just war. And the Rambam says if they don't accept the Shalom, they don't accept the peace agreement, they don't accept the Zion Mitzvahs, they don't accept it, then says the Rambam, what happens is that you can kill them. And he says, and so too, you can kill an Amalek, because it says, Timcha Zecher Amalek. So clearly the Rambam is referring to Amalek, and he says, if they don't accept the Drisha Shalom, they don't accept Shalom, so then you can kill them out. Mashma, if otherwise, you cannot kill them out. So this is a big chiddush in the Rambam. Okay, the question is, what's the source for the Rambam? Where does Rambam get this from? It seems to be, it's a huge chiddush. So the Avi Neiz is actually bothered. He says about Zayin Amin, there's a famous pasuk. Pasuk says that if Zayin Amin, we learn out this Gemara in Saita that says that the Zayin Amin, if they're makabel Shem Mitzvah Nayach, then we go ahead and we let them stay. We don't kill them. So it says Leman Asher LaYimdu Eskam Lases. The whole reason why you're not keep the Zayin Amin alive is because you shouldn't learn from their actions. But if you learn from the if they're Shem Mitzvah Nayach, so there's no problem learning from their actions. There's no problem learning from their actions to keep them alive. It says that in the Nezer, but the Gemara in Saita has to bring a pasuk for Zayin Amin, and the pasuk says Lamana Shalayimdu Lasais. So that's Bedavka by Zayin Amin. It doesn't say by Amalek Lamana Shalayimdu Lasais. It's Ashra Karcha Baderech. It's because what happened originally left Mitzrayim. So where does the Rambam get this idea? And worse than that, the Gemara itself by Zayin Amin has to find justification. When the pasuk goes, "Manash Yimdu Lasais," so what is? Where is the Rambam's source? So Avi Neiz has a big chiddush. I think he says as follows: he says, "By the Zayin Amin, the reason why they're killed is because of the danger they present now." So merely you have to have a pasuk that tells you that if right now they're not going to be a danger, you can keep them. He says, "By Amalek, the whole reason is because what their fathers did." Akshkarcha b'derech. And normally there's a rule that says, "Le'imus avos avonim," we don't punish a father, a kid, for the sins of the father. So, when do you punish them? Only when they're oiches maisei avesei and biyadeim. Only when they hold their father's averis. So, the Ezer says that by Amalek it's pasha, you don't need a pasuk. Amalek's whole killing out is because of the maisei of their fathers. But if the maisei of their fathers, they don't hold by those maisei anymore, and they're mekayim shavim mitzvei nayach, so then you can't punish them for something that was in their roots. He says, again, the Baruch Hashem knows there's a sinner that's tumah in the lave of Amalek, but if they come clean, they say they want to be shavim mitzvei nayach, they want to mekabel them. The Brisker Rav Al Teira, he actually has an interesting pasuk. He says he bring it right to the Ramba. The pasuk says, when Shaul was told to kill an Amalek, says Leifa Charamte Sachaitim Es Amalek, go kill the sinners Amalek. Why did the preface it with Achaitim? Just say go kill Amalek. It's irrelevant if they're sinners or not. The point is that they are Chayiv Misa Kedasha Karcha Baderech. So the Brisker Rav says this could be a makar. This the Rambam. The pasuk fits the Rambam that Amalek is only killed if they are not mekalish zayim mitzvahs. L'maisa, if you go to the Rambam, it helps explain in Tanakh later on. Find that Yayav went to battle against Amalek, and Yayav didn't kill them all out. If the only Amaleki left alive was Agag, so how is Yayav a short time later going to battle against Amaleki villages? It's not enough time to repopulate. So if there are no Amaleki people besides Agag, what do you do? So according to the Rambam, it can make sense. They said they were Mekayim Shavim Mitzvahs, and then after they were saved, they reverted back to their bad ways. So then when David came around, it's his time to go ahead and kill them out. According to the Mechilta, there's a medrash that says the animals really change themselves into people. So when Shaul left the animals alive, so then what happens is that the people, came back to people, and that's why they were there. But one thing is clear, there were people around in the times of Yoyev. It's very famous. The Gemara says that Yoav went and he only killed out the Zacharim of Amalek. So he came back and David asked him, why did you kill the Zacharim of Amalek? It's going by Basra. So he said, because the Pasuk says, Tibcha Zachar Amalek, kill the Zachar Amalek. Zachar Amalek, it's not Zachar, it's Zechar Amalek. It's the remembrance of Amalek. So he said, well, that's how the Rebbe taught me. The Rebbe taught me, Tibcha Zachar Amalek. So they took it, he went to his Rebbe, and they asked him, how do you teach? And he taught, Tibcha Zachar Amalek. So they wanted to kill him. They took out a sword to kill the Rebbe. So, Ari Asa Blech Hashem Ramiya, cursed is the one who does the work of Hashem in trickery. Why? Because the Rebbe apparently on the study made a mistake and never corrected it. And Machloek is the Gemara who's actually killed, who's just cursed. But many years ago, before I started teaching in the Mechina, so Mr. Freeman sent me to do some observation of other Rebbeim. So I was in Laker Masifta, and I observed a Michal Handelsman, the ninth grade Rebbe in Laker Masifta, and I sat in this classroom. And I saw how the class was one over there. I don't know how relevant it was to the class over here, but he told me one thing. He says, one thing you have to know about teaching. He says, took out this Gemara of Abbasu, the Chafal from the base. He says, this is the only thing you have to know is the Anthony Rebbe. He said, you make a mistake, correct yourself. If you don't make a mistake, it's also Lech Hashem Ramiya. The rest you can figure out. But this is the insight you have to know. And this is what you have to know for teaching. So it's a big insight. If you teach something over, you make a mistake, you have to correct it. But we see clearly that in the times of David, there were already many people who were around from Amalek. So according to the Rambam, it makes sense that you have this. The question is like this. What happens, Bizman Hazah? Let's say someone comes across the Amaleki. Does he have to go ahead and kill the Amaleki out? So that simply, the Sefer Yerayim and the Smag seem to be on the approach that this mitzvah is not on a yochid. It's a mitzvah on a tzibur. So until Mashiach comes, we don't have a mitzvah to go ahead and kill an Amalek as a yochid. We don't have the tzibur of Klal Yisrael being able to do it. However, the Sefer HaChinuch seems to be it's on a yochid. However, even according to the Sefer HaChinuch, it's practically impossible. We don't know who's from Amalek. We can't actually tell. And we know Basim Chayv and Bilbas Umayis. So I mixed them all up. So it's impossible to go ahead and figure out who Amalek is. Even if we do, a person doesn't have the kayach to kill him out. So it's a practical impossibility. Even according to Shias that hold that technically you'd have to do it. It's interesting that if Henkin has a piece where he writes, it's a big Kiddush, but he writes, he's talking to dealing with the dilemma. He says that a lot of the maskilim, they criticize the frum people for not teaching Navi in a literal way. So they criticize that they teach Navi with the Mefarshim, and it's not historical, and it's not accurate, this historical analysis of what took place. And it says of Henkin, it's on purpose. Because the reason why we do it is because in Navi we find a lot of things of killing and Mechamis. And the Ibn Hashem doesn't want Klal Yisrael in Golis to be a warrior nation. So Bedafka, we don't teach it very practically because we don't want people to draw the wrong lessons from Navi. So instead we go ahead and we teach it more of Mefarshim and not in such a historical type of way. He says, however, he says, so too is Amalek. He says that the reason why we don't know who Amalek is today is not Stam B'mikra. Because the Ibn Hashem Bedafka made it that we don't know who Amalek is today so that we shouldn't, because Hashem does not want Klal Yisrael to have that surah of Klal Yisrael. Once Klal Yisrael went into Golis, was a different surah and not one of fighting Muhammad. So Bedafka, the Ibn Hashem made it that until Mashiach comes, who Amalek is lost. And he says, Bedafka read it, so we read Navi in a sing-song way, so it shouldn't be a practical Amaisa. The thing is, we know we read the story of Amalek, Parshas Zachar. It's not so lemaisa, definitely according to the Smag, and definitely according to those shittas, the Arayim. Even according to Sefer HaChinuch, practically it's not lemaisa. So what are we supposed to take away from it? So Moshe has a fascinating idea. Moshe says, Darash Moshe, that when we read the Parsha of Amalek, it's a lesson to all of us. Because look at Amalek, they witnessed Kriyas Yam Suf. They knew about the Makkos. They knew about all these things. You know, look where they fell, look how they fell so low. So people have to know the danger that every human being has something in it that can be really bad. People can reach real heights, they can reach tremendous heights, but human beings also have a certain capacity for evil that's unique to human beings. And sometimes people rest in the laurels. They think, oh, I'm in a good chevra, I'm in the right place, I've seen certain things, I've gone through life, and therefore they think that they're able to sit back and say that everything is going to be, they don't have to anymore worry about themselves. So Amalek is supposed to tell us, no, Amalek tells us that we still have to be concerned. And we still have to worry. Look what Amalek saw and look what happened to them. So because of that, he says, we still have to go ahead and still be concerned, still worry about what took place. Lamaisa, with a little bit on a different angle, we find that Shaul, Lamaisa, did not go ahead and kill out Agag. Shaul, when it came down to Shaul and his chance to go ahead and kill out Amalek, Shaul falls short. He kills out the whole Amalek, but Lamaisi doesn't kill out Agag. So the question is, why? What was the thing that caused Shaul to, so to speak, not kill out Agag? So the Gemara is interesting. The Gemara says that Shaul made a cheshbon. Shaul was bothered when he got to Tzivoy. He was bothered as follows. He says, the Pasuk says that by Egla Rufa, if you don't know, someone was killed. We have to bring our Egla Rufa on one person. On one person who does an Aveira, it says, go ahead and bring an Egla Rufa. So a whole nation of people should be killed out. And he says, furthermore, another problem. If people did Averis, did the Behemoths do Averis? If the Gedolim did Averis, did the Ketanim do Averis? And therefore, Shaul had Rachmanis and they didn't kill out the whole people of Amalek. And the Gemara says on this, Alki Tzadik Harbi. Don't try to be too much of a tzaddik. Now, simply, Shaul wasn't coming with a real taina in halacha, because Egla Rufa doesn't apply by a guy. So what was his taina over here? Wasn't a taina in halacha. It was a feeling, Pasha, and the Kliyaka says, it was a feeling that, in a certain sense, he doubted the yashrus of the mitzvah. And that's something that some people grapple with. It's a hard mitzvah to understand. Shaul had some struggle with it. And because of that, he didn't go ahead and kill him. Perhaps Agag, who was a king itself, he felt more of a compassion for him. Interestingly, the Malbim says, the Pasuk says, Yachmal Shaul Agag. The Malbim says there are three words that we find that normally mean Rachmanis. Rachim, which is mercy. Chas and Yachmal. It says Rachim is something you feel to kinship to another person, another part of your, a human being, is Rachim. Chas is when you lose something. A person's Chas, something minor. So that is a loss, or you feel something, you see a person suffering, even if it's not a direct loss, but you as a human being can relate to that. It says Yachmal is when it reaches the level when you feel that it's unjust. And Shaul's Aveira apparently was, someone struggles, apparently, with the concept of Amalek, and then it wouldn't necessarily be in Shaul's Aveira. What Shaul's Aveira was, that he was Yachmal, he came to the level of feeling that this mitzvah is not right. That he felt that the Ratzon Hashem he did not understand, or he felt it was unjust, or perhaps immoral to a certain extent, what the Banisho is Mitzvah. When it reaches that level, that's what Shaul made his mistake. It's quite interesting that Shaul seemed to have taken this so far, his cheshbon, that when Shmuel comes and tells him, it means Shmuel, he says, Hakimaisi Dvar Hashem. So sometimes you see also that his idea that it wasn't right led him to mamish convince himself that he was not going connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, which I think is an important nakuda. Sometimes a person takes his own ideas and his own concepts, and because of that, he's convinced that Shaul Stam Shaka to Shmuel, he sees him, he says, Hakimaisi Dvar Hashem. He held in a certain sense because of his cheshbon that he was making him Dvar Hashem. We know that Shaul's tshuva was not accepted. And simply the reason why his tshuva wasn't accepted, whereas David's tshuva was accepted, the Sefer Ikkim says a couple reasons. One reason is because Shaul kept giving excuses. And the first thing to recognize in the chet is to recognize your aveira and not give excuses. Shaul gives excuses. Also, Shaul's aveira was one that was connected to the malucha. It was something that he was told to do as a melech. David's aveira was on a yochid. The David Bashev is on a malucha aveira. It's a yochid aveira. And as a matter of fact, you see when Shmuel tells off Shaul, he says the very strong words to him. Afki katan ata beinecha, roi shifta yisol ata. To be a king, you have to be able to stand up for the people. If you just always have your finger on what's currently popular in the world, or what your people want from you, or they can pressure you, you're not a king. Shaul's excuses, the people wanted to go ahead and keep the tzayin. The people wanted to bring karbonis. That's a good excuse, maybe a half excuse for a regular person, but not when you're a leader. Such a type of excuse, it gufa makes you inappropriate to be a leader for Klal Yisrael. You have to take responsibility and you have to not be, so to speak, pressured by the people. So it happens to be interesting, I don't know, Klal, what the reason, but when Shmuel kills Agag, he seems to give a justification. He says, the same way Nashim, ladies, suffered from your mother, suffered from your sword, so too your mother will suffer from your sword. Now, seemingly, he seems to be going down the line of what Shaul himself was doing. Where's the justification to kill him? So I don't know why Shmuel would go ahead and do the same thing and give him a reason. And maybe even Shaul, when she tells him, he was showing him that Lamaisa, it's not always what your approach is flawed. Look, even the person you have Brahmanis on, even Lishitasa, is somebody who's guilty of very, very bad crimes. We know Lemaisa, when Purim came, so Esther went ahead and Esther was misaking the chet of Shaul. And Mordechai tells Esther to go to Achashverosh. Mordechai says, if you're not going to go ahead and carry out this mission, then what's going to happen is there will be redemption from Kal Yisrael from somewhere else. But your chance to redeem your people, your father's house, will be lost. Will be ever lost. Simply, she blew it. Why is the base of Vichtavedin? Why is it also her father's house that is going to be lost? Simply, this is her chance to redeem the mistake of Shaul. Esther was descendant of Shaul. And here she had the chance to get rid of Haman. It's a chance to misakin the chet of Shaul. If you stand up to the plate, you'll be misakin. If you don't stand up to the plate, you won't. That's just the simple pshat. I once heard another pshat, which I think is a very interesting idea. It says, if you look, there was a certain nekuda in the family of Esther. Esther came from Rachel, came from Binyamin, came from Shaul. Each one of these people were known for a unique midah of the ability to remain quiet. When Rachel gave away the simonim, she remained quiet. She wasn't magid. It was a shtilkeit. She was quiet. When Binyamin knew about the Mechiras Yosef, he stayed quiet. His stone is called Yashveh. Yesh pev lo sagid. He knew about it. He didn't say. So too Shaul was nechbal lakel. He remained quiet. So a certain gavaldik amida is only meaning quiet. Problem is, when you're quiet, you have to know, are you quiet because you're doing Ratzon Hashem, or because you're naturally you're quiet? You have a boy who sits in class, very nice and quiet. Does he work on himself to sit still? Well, partially, he's quiet. I know the difference. You see him play sports. Is he jumping around, or is he sitting quiet? So a kid who sits on the side quietly by sports and sits quietly in class, there's no big deal. He doesn't know how to make noise. So of course he sits quietly. Kid runs around, is rambunctious during recess. He comes to class and he sits well. So you know that Lemaisa, he's someone who has something that who's worked on himself. And that's what Nekuda people have to know. A lot of times naturally you have innate characteristics that not necessarily meet the type that we worked on. So we find in the Mishpacha of Esther and Shaul, this kind of shtilkeit. Says Mordechai, the only way we know if this quietness is talk is something that's a real midah that's worked on is when it's time to do the opposite, are you willing to stand up? When it's time not to be shtil, when it's time to go ahead and make a statement and be brash, are you able to stand up? Because if you stay quiet, when there's time not to be quiet, was a type for a certain amount of outgoingness, then that's going to indicate that perhaps all this midah was just a family characteristic. You're very quiet people. But if you're able to go ahead and stand up to the plate, you're able to go ahead and show that when it's time to talk, you talk. That's megal. Everything else is also a big milus. And machareish tacharishin beis hazayis. Then Rebbe Gatzlaya ba'ata beis avich tavedin, because the whole mile of your beis avich will be lost because it'll be just written off as something that was a natural thing. So I think just a couple takeaways besides obviously some of the machleikas here. But I just think the nekudas that perhaps we walk away with is obviously the nekuda of Ramesha. Now, when it comes to the story of Amalek, to how it relates to us, that not to delude ourselves and think that we're in a situation where we can't fall, and to recognize that it is possible to fall. The ideas of the Sefer Ikrim, that tshuva requires a recognition of chait, and as long as someone excuses away his actions, he's never going to be able to go ahead and do a proper tshuva and change himself, and he gives excuses for himself, he's not going to be able to grow. And lastly, the nekuda of over here that perhaps show the ideas, we have to always ask ourselves, these midas that we have, are we actually working on them, or is it a default position that we just fall back on because that's our nature? Are we willing to go opposite our nature when the time is necessary? And it's a shame we should be zeicha this Purim and Parsha Zohar, Taka, take these lessons and be zeicha to be able to walk away with the right messages of the Yom Tov. Yeah.